Prisham punaha, Abhuta Hari Parabja, Rajaputa Sarjale. Te all of them, Niniya, having offered, Udakam. Water, sarve, every one of them, vilapya, having lamented, cha, and brisham, sufficiently, punaha, again, aplutaha, took bath, hari parabja, the lotus seat of the Lord, raja, dust, Buddha, purified. Sharit of the Ganges, Jale, in the water. Translation. Having lamented over them and sufficiently offered Ganges water, they bathed in the Ganges, whose water is sanctified, due to being mixed with the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. No purport. Read the next verse. Tatrashinam kuru patim dhritarashtram shahanabjam gandharim putra shakartam pritam krishnam chamadavaha. There sat the king of the Kurus, Maharaj Yudhisthira, along with his younger brothers and Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, Kunti, and Draupadi. All overwhelmed with grief, Lord Krishna was also there.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
The battle of Kurukshetra was fought between family members, and thus all affected persons were also family members, like Maharaj Yudhisthira and brothers. Kunti, Draupadi, Shobhadra, Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, and her daughters-in-law, etc. All the principal dead bodies were in some way or other related with each other, and therefore the family grief was combined. Lord Krishna was also one of them as a cousin of the Pandavas and nephew of Kunti, as well as brother of Subhadra, etc. The Lord therefore was equally sympathetic toward all of them, therefore he began to pacify them befittingly. Dharma Prajita Kaitava Atra Parama Nirama Saranam Satam Vedyam Vastavam Atru Vashtu Shivanam Tapatrayan Mudanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrite King Bhai Para Ishvara Sadhya Ridhi Avarudyate Atra Kriti Vishu Shivaktakshanat Krishna Sadhamu Bhagavate Dhamma Jnana Adivishah Kalonashta Trisham Esha Puranag Adunundita. Om Agyana Divanandaja Gyan Juna Shalaka Chokshish Unminam Nimitasma Sri Guru Ave Namaha Bande Aham Sri Guru Sri Jutapara Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnamamsha Sri Rupam Shagarajatam Shahagana Raghunatham Vedantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Shaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Param Shahagana Lalita Shidisha. Mukankari Vachinam Pangum Rangai Dekirin Chakrapata Mahamande Sri Gurun Dinadari. Lord Krishna was also one of them as a cousin of the Pandavas and nephew of Kunti. So, the Pandavas, they thought of Krishna as their cousin. And Kunti Maharani, She thought of Krishna as her nephew. And at the same time, they understood that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is a special relationship, or bhav, it's called the bhav, or the type of love that the Pandavas and the Vrishnis and the Yadavas had toward Krishna. It's a special type of relationship. It's a mix. On one hand, they have these feelings of familial affection, just like you would to your brother, your cousin. Of course, in Vedic culture, cousins are much closer than they are in Western culture. Maybe you never even see your cousins. In Western culture, who cares who your cousin is? But in the Vedic culture, cousin is like brother. Cousin is very close. So Krishna and the Pandavas, very close relationship. In fact, Arjuna, his relationship is the Sakyaras, he's a friend of Krishna. It's a little interesting relationship though, because it's kind of a mix and it goes from one to the other. Just like Arjuna, he's relating with Krishna like a friend. And they sport together, and they talk together, and they work together like friends, like contemporaries. And even in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, they're almost arguing with each other, like friends do, arguing. Then, for example, after Krishna displayed the universal form to Arjuna in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, then Arjuna becomes overwhelmed with the awe. Awe. Gaurava Bhava, it's called awe, the understanding, the opulence of the Lord. And he says, after Krishna displays the universal form, Arjuna comments, after Krishna speaks the Chatur Smoki Gita in the 10th chapter, Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, everything is coming from me. Mata Sarvam Prabhajate, I'm the source of everything, everything is coming from me. I'm the Supreme. And then he displays that in the 11th chapter. He not only says it, he shows everything coming from him. He shows everything to Arjuna, universal form. The Vishwarupa. So after making these statements, Arjuna says, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Parama Bhavan. You are the Param Brahma, you are the absolute truth. Param Dhamma, you are the ultimate abode and resting place of everything. Pavitram, the purest. Paramam Bhavan, you are the supreme. Purusham Shashvatam Divyam, supreme person. Shashvatam Divyam, transcendental. Adi Devam, the Lord of all the demigods. Adi Devam, Ajam, unborn, Vibhu, the greatest. Vibhu, Vibhu is Vaibhav, Vibhu is opulence. You have everything. You are the greatest. You are the supreme. He's overwhelmed with these feelings. You are the supreme. He's offering obeisances to the supreme, Parameshwara. And then he regrets all of a sudden. He says, what have I done? I have addressed you in such a familiar way. Hey Krishna, he says, I said, hey Krishna, hey Yadav, hey Shakyati, hey my friend, hey buddy. Shakyati means, hey mate. Huh? Sorry mate, how are you mate? You guys know what that means. Okay mate. So hey Shakyati, that's Vedic for hey mate. So this is very, very, very familiar. Of course, in Australia, you can say that to anybody. You can go to the press, you can go to the Prime Minister and say, "G'day, mate," and he'll be happy. But in other civilized cultures, you can't do that. Australia is a little unique. It's because they're always chanting the name of the Lord. G'day, g'day, mate. G'day, g'day, g'day. Jai, g'day. So they get their all purified in Australia, so they do. They're not so bound up by the conditions of civilized life. So hey Shakyati, hey my friend, hey Yadav, hey Krishna. You know, hey Krishna, like he's saying, what have I done? I've addressed you in such a familiar way, such a relaxed way, such an intimate way. And you are the Vibhu, you are the greatest, you are the supreme. So Arjuna, he can see that his emotion, his bhav, it kind of goes from one to the other. He experiences these different feelings of love. This is all bhav. This is all bhav. This is all the emotion. But it's this. So this is the relationship the Pandavas have. And you see all the dealings of the Pandavas. Bhishma, Yudhishthira, and Kunti Maharani. A few verses down the track we're going to hear the prayers of Queen Kunti. So she begins her prayers in about 10 verses from now, 15 verses. So text 18, she's Kunti Uvacha. Namaste Purusham Tvadyam Ishvaram. Namaste Purusham Tvadyam Ishvaram. You are the Supreme Controller. At the same time she has this affection, Krishna, that you are my nephew, but you are the Parameshwar. She's praying like that. Another verse, Krishna Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Nanda Gopa Kumaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. So this is an auntie doesn't have a relationship like this with a nephew. It's the relationship is Vatsalya, like the mother, the auntie has. So Kunti Maharani's relationship is mixed like that. And she's feeling affections like she would for her child and her nephew. And at the same time, she's feeling affection because he's the supreme Godhead. So technically, this is called, well, in the case of Arjuna, it's called the Gaurava Sakya, friendship with veneration. And in the case of Queen Kunti Maharani, it's called Yukta, Aishwarya Gyan Yukta. That means mixed with knowledge of the Aishwarya, the opulence of the Lord. This is the relationship that they have. Now, this is a little different. Actually, Krishna comes to enjoy these types of relationships. That's why he appears, Pari Pranaya Sadunam. He appears to reciprocate. Yei Bhajanti Tumam Bhakya Mai Te Keshi Chapiyam. Yei Bhajanti Mam. Those who worship me, Yei Bhajanti Tumam Bhakya, with devotion. Mai Te Dari Me. Teshu Chapiyam. And I am in them. So Krishna actually, he's not interested in anything. He has nana vaktam avaktavyam. I have no desires. I have not need of anything. Trishi lokeshu kinchana. In all these three worlds, Krishna has no desires. Because he is the vibhu. He has everything. We have desire because that's called kanshiti. We need things. All of our desires are based upon our shortcomings. We need a better health, we need a better apartment, we need a better job, better career, better position, better income. All these things, because we're based upon our shortage. But Krishna has no concept of a shortage. He's Vibhu. He has everything. Aishwarya, he has the Sad Aishwarya Purna. He has all opulence in full. So there's no question of the desire. Nana Bhaktam, third chapter by the way, Nana Bhaktam, I'm not in need of anything. None of them avatavyam, and I have no desire for anything. However, Krishna desires to reciprocate in relationships. Mai te dari me teshu in them cha api aham. I am in them. Krishna likes to have affectionate dealings with his devotees. That's what he enjoys. That's what he likes, and that's what he. He's called Lila Purushottam Krishna. Lila Purushottam. He's the supreme enjoyer of pastimes. And what are pastimes? Can you have pastimes that are not on your own? Is there any pastime of Krishna on his own? Can you tell me any pastime of Krishna on his own? Krishna alone went and did this. All the Krishna's pastimes are, they're in the setting. It's like a drama, and there's a setting, there's characters. Gokul, and Krishna is playing with the cattle boys, they're playing games, and then a big demon, Agasura, comes, and he's smelly and on. And then the cowherd boys, they take shelter of Krishna, they come into Krishna, please, you can. And then Krishna, he ties his belt, fastens his bugle, and ties his belt, and then he goes and and wrestles with the Agasura demon. And all the cowherd boys are on the side, yeah, Jai Krishna, Jai. And Krishna's there looking. He's dancing on the hoods of Kaliya and all the Yasoda and all the Matajis of Gokul and all the gopis are all there and they're crying, "Oh, Krishna, Krishna," and Krishna's looking and he's dancing and he's looking at them. You take away the devotees, there's no Ananda. Rasananda. Do we have anybody here named Rasananda? No one named Rasananda. The bliss of relationships. Rasamoy. Do you have any Rasamoys here? No Rasamoy. Full of relationships. It's all about relationships. And different relationships. So much variety. He has friends, he has parents, seniors, he has girlfriends. All different flavors. Just like in our existence, we have perverted reflection of this. We have friends, we have seniors, we show respect to Ayah Prabhu, and seniors. There'll always be seniors, parents, and juniors, and the conjugal wife, all of this. All different types of relationships, children. And basically, we just surround ourselves with these relationships, and we endeavor in life, the whole endeavor is to enjoy, is to just taste these relationships. We work, we go to the office all day. People say, "You creep on a dojo and chop all sugar lava, chop all sugar lava lage." We are prepared to accept all types of hardship. Sita adhava vada varishana. Sita means the winter. It's supposed to be March in Melbourne. It's supposed to be the autumn. It's freezing. Sita, Atapa, we endure the cold. How do you come from the tropical country, you have to work in Melbourne, or on the street, getting the tram. Sita, Atapa, the cold. Vata, Varishana, Vata is the wind. Vata. Varishana, the rain. Vrishti, Vosha. We endure all of this. Vata, Varishana. Vipal, Sevinu, Kripana, Durjana. Kripana means the miserly man, the durjana. Durjana means bad man. When jana is man, durjana, bad man. Kripana, they're miserly, they're greedy. They're unclean, they're full of material desires. They're low class. And Bipala Sevan, we have to serve such people. Go to the office, be there on time, do all the tasks. Who's that for? It's because this Kripana Durjana is dictating to us. And Bipala Sevina, we have to serve whatever he says. If we abandon, I don't know, you're out. Next week you come to the office, is someone else's name is on the office. We have to serve. Devotionally. Dedicatedly. With great commitment. It's called Bipala Seva. Kripana Durjana, why do we do that? Chapal Shuk Lava Lage. To get a little bit of the happiness, Chapal Shuk Lava Lage, which you get from coming home in the evening and the wife says, "Oh, welcome home." And the children say, "Oh, Daddy, what have you bought for us?" It's all worth it. All that difficulty we go for years and years and years. Why do we do that? It's because of the relationships that we can enjoy. If you have no job, no money, the wife will, "Well, you useless, get out." And then there's no pain. And the children, "Well, I will find some other father." Oh. "What do you give? No bicycle, nothing." So the motivation is enjoying all of this rasa. Because this is a reflection of the spiritual. So that's the material rasa. So Krishna comes and he actually enjoys. Because Krishna, he's really enjoying this. And in the spiritual world, the relationships. In Gokul, there's also relationships of friendship and parental, vatsalya and sakyaras. But in Gokul, the relationships are a little different. It's not like that of Kuntis and Arjuna. In the Gokula, Goloka, the relationship is called the Kevala Prema. So that means that they don't think that Krishna is Ishvara. Parameshwara, like Arjuna, he's saying, "Vibhu, you're the opulent. You're the Param Brahma. You're the Supreme Absolute Truth. And Kunti is saying that Ishvara, you're the Supreme Controller in Goloka, in Vrindavan. Vrindavan. They don't think Krishna, they don't love Krishna because he is the Supreme Lord. They don't even think he's the Supreme Lord. Just like, you see, Krishna, he was in his Pogunda Lila. He was playing, and Krishna and Balaram would let loose the calves in the evening. They would let them loose, and the calves would run to the cows and drink all the milk of the cows, and then the cow would go to milk to get more milk. And the gopas and the gopis would come after Krishna, chastising, and then Krishna would come to the houses of the other gopis, and he would steal the yogurt and the milk. He would drink it, and if he couldn't find it, he would go and pinch the babies, and they would cry. And then the mothers, they would tie the yogurt up high, so that Krishna and Balaram couldn't get it. And so they would pile on the grinding mortar. They would get all chairs and stools and pile it up and climb up, and they would reach in and get that and eat that yogurt, distribute to the monkeys. And after everything finished and the monkeys' belly is full, and they're no more. And Krishna would say, this yogurt is bad quality. Even the monkeys don't want it. And then they would, if they couldn't reach the yogurt, they would throw stones and break a hole in the pot. And the yogurt would drip down. And then the gopis, they would come and they would chastise Krishna. And Krishna would say, well, what do you think? We're not stealing anything. You think there's any shortage of butter in our house? And the gopis would complain, the gopis would complain to Yasoda, Mataji, that this Krishna is a new nonsense. You chastise him, and then Krishna would be looking and smiling, and then they say, no, don't chastise him. And this is the path. Krishna comes to enjoy this relationship with the mothers. They're all chasing him, want to beat him, and they want to spank him, and then they look at him, he smiles, and then they say, no, don't spank him. Don't chastise him. And then Krishna, the cowherd boys, they say to Mother Yasoda, today Krishna ate mud. Today Krishna ate clay. And Mother Yasoda said, is that Krishna? You come here. Is this true? What Balaram is saying, you ate clay? And Krishna says, no, Mother. Today we were playing and Balaram, he became angry with me, and now he's teaming up with the other cowherd boys. They're doing politics against me. And they're saying that I ate the clay. And if you don't believe me, Mother, look in my mouth. You look in my mouth. And then Krishna comes, sits on the lap of Mother Yasoda, opens his mouth, and she looks inside, expecting to see some remnants of clay. And what does she see? What does she see? The Vishwarupa. The Vishwarupa. She sees everything. She sees all the planets, all of the upper planets, lower planets, middle planets, all the demigods. The modes, all of the prakriti, the pradana, the modes, all of the constituents of material creation. Quite an amazing darshan, actually. Even Steven Spielberg would be overwhelmed by such a darshan. And then immediately, Kunti Maharaja Yasoda, she begins to pray. All these philosophical prayers, glorifying, obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all philosophical. And then again she remembers what am I doing all this? This is philosophy. Is this my baby? He's just on my lap here. And immediately she becomes overwhelmed with affection and forgets everything. Forgets. Literally forgets. So this is the Yoga Maya. Krishna in Vrindavan, he manifests the Yoga Maya. So that even though sometimes he performs these activities which make the devotees think maybe he's the supreme God, but then they forget that he's not the supreme God, he's my son, he's our friend, he's Gopal, he's our cowherd boy. They forget. So actually Krishna he likes this most of all. Of all the different rasas, he actually likes this rasa most of all. And he makes this, he empowers this yoga maya potency so that the devotees forget, because he doesn't want them to think that he's the supreme God. Because then how can Yasoda Mataji, how can she chastise him? How can she take him? It's too awesome. She's all nervous. And, oh, I've got the Supreme God in my lap here. So he doesn't want that to get in the way of the relationship. So he makes the devotees forget. Even he forgets he's God in Vrindavan. Even he forgets he's God. Trirekanta kanta, trirekanta kanta, stidagarikandamodano. He's trirekanta kanta, he's like this, breathing heavily. What is that? Muhuswasa kampa, trirekanta kanta. His neck is trembling and he's breathing heavily. Like a little kid does when they're very afraid. So how is that? He's feeling that. He's actually afraid of Mother Yasoda. He's running away. He's afraid. So he does it. How does he become afraid? Because he makes himself forget that he's the Supreme God. Because how can the Supreme God become afraid? So he makes himself forget that he's God. And if they merge into this drama, into this leela, it's even more intense and real than we consider to be real reality in this world. Years ago, we were doing Sankirtan in Melbourne. We'd do Arinam, and the people, they'd go past and say, hey, get a job, get real. Get real. If you want to get real, then go to Vrindavan. That's where the relationships are actually so real. The emotions, the reciprocations. Actually, my experience in this life, maybe others have had similar experience. If this is an interactive session, we could do experiential exercise. But I'll just give you my own experience. Before coming to devotional life, actually, my experience was that everything is not real. I had mother, father, brothers, sisters, and I was always thinking, I'm just playing the role of a son. I'm playing the role of a brother. I'm playing the role of all these other things, school, students. Yes, yes, yes. I'm just playing the role. And in my mind, I was thinking, where's the reality? I was thinking like that all the time in everything I did in life. I just think, now I'll play like a student, now I'll play like a son, now I'll play like this, play like that. And only after actually taking the devotional service and actually serving Krishna did that feeling go away. Actually, that didn't come anymore in the mind. And I could actually really absorb myself in the activities. So in Vrindavan, that's where it's real. And Krishna, he actually is attracted. That's the type of love that Krishna wants most. Tadi yeshita geshi bhakti yeshita dvam. Tadi yeshita geshu. Krishna is showing in this where he, in his Dhammadhar Lila, where he's being chased by Mother Yasoda, and she thinks that she's got to chastise him, and he's her son, and he actually forgets he's God. Tadi yeshita geshu bhakti yeshita dvam. Krishna is showing that those who are ishita geshu, those who have knowledge of his opulence, that's ishita geshu, they know that he is the supreme controller. For them, he is not captured as much as he is by Bhakti Chidatvam, those who have pure love. In other words, there's an element there that we're obligated, because he's the Vibhu, because he has everything, he's the supreme, we have to love him. We have to love him. So that's transcendental, but Krishna prefers most that there's no feeling of obligation. We love him because he's the supreme powerful. That's the type of love Krishna prefers most. And Jagannath Mishra, the same. Jagannath Mishra was chastising Nimai. And he had a dream. And an effulgent Brahman appeared to him and said, Mishra, what are you doing? You're foolishly chastising your son. Don't you understand that he is fully endowed with transcendental qualities? He's a mystic personality. And he's no need of you to chastise him and tell him what to do. In the dream, Jagannath Mishra says, hey, hang on. He's my son. It's my responsibility as his father to tell him right from wrong. And if I don't do that, how's he going to learn these things? And he says, what if he, and the Brahman says, you fool, he has no need of these things. He's on a transcendental platform superior than you can even conceive of. And Jagannath Krishna says, I don't care if he's the Supreme Lord Narayan. He's my son, it's my responsibility to tell him right from wrong, chastise him, and that's what I will do, and nothing can stop me from doing it. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he explains that at the root, at the moon of Jagannath Mishra, he calls it Vishuddha Vatsalya. It's pure parental affection. Vishuddha. Which means there's no concept that Nimai is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is, Prabhupada tells a story about how much Krishna is attracted to this. About Gladstone, Prime Minister Gladstone. Prabhupada's story. Prime Minister Gladstone. He was the Prime Minister of Great Britain prior to Winston Churchill and some big dignitaries. I think it was someone from the Nazi Party even came before the Second World War to have some meetings with him, this and that. And they were waiting, and my secretary was saying, yeah, he's busy, just wait. They're waiting and waiting. These big foreign ministers, they're out there outside the Prime Minister's office waiting, keep going, and the time. And eventually they couldn't cope with it anymore, so they just opened the door, the office looked in. And Prime Minister Gladstone, he's there on his all fours, like a horse. And his grandchild is on his back. His grandchild is going, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. And Prime Minister Gladstone's going, So Prime Minister Gladstone, even though he had so much responsibility and he had to deal on these big international issues, he actually wasn't interested in that. He actually preferred to play as the horsey with his grandchild and enjoy that rasa. So this is the example Prabhupada gives us to show us. So this is Vrindavan rasa. Now actually, usually we can, when we practice dharma, sanatana dharma, usually we get the liberation, mukti. And if you're a bhakta, if you're a Vaishnava, then you'll get the liberation in Vaikuntha. And you can serve the Lord in the Dasya Ras as a servant in Vaikuntha. Or at best you can go to the Sakya Gauruva, which is the awe and veneration, but there's some feeling of friendship with Lord Narayan. That's usually what you get if you get Vaishnava Mukti, Vaishnava liberation, which is even superior to the Sayuja. If you're fortunate to get the Vaishnava Muktanam Abhisidhanam, Narayana Parayana. Even amongst those who are muktas, one to become a devotee of Lord Narayan is very rare. Muktanam api siddhanam. Out of thousands of muktas and siddhas, Narayana Parayana, one who, Sudulava, one who has actually taken shot of Lord Narayan is very, very rare. Sudulava, very hard to get. Out of all the liberated and siddha purushas, a devotee of Lord Narayan is very rare. What to speak of a devotee of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan? How rare is that Vaikuntha liberation? So this usually you would get by worshipping Krishna, by Krishna Bhakti, by doing the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. You get the Vaikuntha Mukti. Sarupi Samipi Saloki Shasti. Four kinds as Vaikuntha liberation. But this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan Andolan, the movement, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement is different because he is appearing to actually, he appears after the appearance of Lord Krishna and he appears to actually freely bestow the Braja praying on everybody. That's Rupa Goswami. We have to understand all these prayers that we pray and that we read. They're not just, you know, Jai Krishna, Jai Govinda, Jai Mahaprabhu. They're very significant, like Rupa Goswami. He says, Namo Maha Badanaya Avatar. I offer my obeisances to you who are the most munificent incarnation. Maha Badanaya Avatar, Krishna Prema Pradaya. Because you're giving love for Krishna. You're giving that freely. Krishna means Krishna is in Vrindavan. That's where Krishna is. Krishna Prema Pradaya. So Krishna comes and he displays the Vrindavan pastimes, but actually they're not accessible to anybody. There's no one except, and then Mahaprabhu comes after Krishna's appearance to freely distribute this Vrindavan mood, and there's a braja praying. So in addition to propagating or establishing the Yuga Dharma, we usually say Mahaprabhu is Yuga Avatar, because he propagates the, he Kalijuge Jubinarma Namina Proja Totilagi Vidavarna Chaitanya Avatar. He comes to preach the Jubinarma, which is now Sankirtan. But in addition to that, Kaviraj Goswami explains, he kind of coincides that the Lord appeared, Mahaprabhu wanted to come again to bestow this Krishna prema, and that was coinciding with the period for the Yuga avatar to come to establish the Yuga Dharma. So he does both. But he says, Kaviraj Goswami, actually, Yuga Dharma Pravatana, the establishing of the Yuga Dharma Pravatana, Hoya Amsha Hoyte, that can be done by any plenary expansion of Vishnu, can establish the Yuga Dharma. Any of the Vishnu avatars can establish the Yuga Dharma. Ami, Anna, Aro, Nare, Vraja Prema Jite. But no one else but me, Krishna is saying, Mahaprabhu is saying, only I can actually give the Vraja Prema. I personally can give the Vraja Prema. No other avatar can do that. Parama Puruna, Bahu Duijan, Nita Aigolda Janda, Sav Avatar Shara Shiro Mani. The Shiro is the head, those of you who do Yogasana. Shir Shashan, headstand. Shiro is the head. So, Nidagora, they are the Shiromani. They are the jewel of the head of all the avatars. Mani is the jewel. Shiromani. Shav avatar, Shara Shiromani. Of all the avatars, they are the precious jewels. Because they are giving the topmost Kevala Ananda Kanda. And the process is very easy. Otherwise, how else it could be spread in all the Western countries? Where there's no Manasram Dharma, where there's only Bikaris and simple people, and they're all taking to Mahaprabhu's sanctified mission. So this is the most merciful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what we can understand what chanting Hare Krishna means. We're chanting Hare Krishna, and Bhagavatam says that Kali, what is that, Kali Juge, Krishna, what is that? Mahagunan, Kaladoshani Devarajan, Eka Asta Mahagunan, Kirtana Deva Krishnasha, Kirtana Deva Krishnasha, just by chanting Hare Krishna, Kirtana Deva Krishnasha. You chant Krishna, Mukta Sangha, you get liberated from association, from the contamination of material energy, Mukta Sangha, Param, reject, you go to the Supreme, you get liberation in Kali Yuga just by chanting the name of Krishna. But that liberation we get is even more than just liberation. You get the Braja Prana. We can go to Vrindavan. Tato mam tat pato gyata vishite tat anantaram. Vishite, you can enter into. Vishite. Tat ananta, that eternal Vrindavan. Ananda lila. Vrindavan lila. Vishite tat anantaram. We can enter into that. By mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by chanting Hare Krishna, we can enter into that. And so we should, we won't go there if we don't have the desire. We definitely won't go there. We have to cultivate the desire. To cultivate. And Krishna comes to demonstrate the pastimes to attract us. Attract us. To actually, Jita Sangha Dosha, have to give up the false relationships, the illusory that are entangling us. Have to actually jita, have to conquer those, and have to develop a real affection. If you don't develop the affection for Krishna, we're not going to go to Krishna. It's as simple as that. We'll go where we want. And if we have no desire to go and to enter into those and to serve Krishna in that eternal realm, we won't go there. So what we're doing in the sadhana is that we have to awaken the desire. That's the essence of our process. It's a matter of awakening the desire. That's bhakti, the love. And then on the basis of that love, we will go there because we love Krishna. But if we don't love Krishna, we're not going to go there. It's going to be slow. So now we have the human form of life and we have come to Krishna consciousness and given the process. We have to utilize the opportunity now to practice. We have to develop love for Krishna by practicing. Krishna says, if it's not natural, abhyasa yoginatata, you have to practice. Abhyas. You know, abhyas means make habituated activity. Abhyas. In Hindi means like it's a habit. Abhyasa yogena. We have to have it, we have to practice loving Krishna. Abhyasa yogena tato. Then, mam ichchatum dananjaya. You will awaken desire for me. Mam ichchatum dananjaya. 12th chapter Bhagavad Gita. Abhyasa yoga. We have to practice loving Krishna. And that will awaken the love for Krishna. And we don't have much time. We're wasting so much time. We have to become very serious and absorbed and dedicated and committed to this activity. Abhyasa. I have to awaken love for Krishna, because if I haven't awoken it by the time I give up the body, I'm not going to Krishna. Come back again, of course, whatever advancement is there, not lost, but then there's so many chances. Who knows where you're going to take birth? What association you'll have? You may get all carried away. In fact, because of all the piety, all the pious credits we've done, we'll get the opulent situation. We may get bewildered by that. So now everything is clear in our mind. We've already had education. We've had all that stuff growing up. Everything is all, you don't have to go through all that again. So just get serious now. So that we can actually, in this time, before giving up this body, we can actually have awakened love for Krishna. This is such a chance that we can't miss. Who knows what the next life will be? What situation Islam will be in? What situation Prabhupada's movement will be in? We don't know. We don't know what our situation will be in. We may have some unfortunate association. We may get lost again. But now we won't get lost, because we're so close. So we just have to practice the developing love for Krishna. Chaitasya sarva kamani mai shanya shamarpara buddhi jogam upashascha machchita satatam baba machchita. That becomes the inscript that much me, chitta, conscious, have become Krishna conscious. Much chitta, satatam, always, baba. You become. Krishna is saying, become conscious of me. Become my devotee. Maya shakta mana, you fix your mind on me. You think of me, manana. That's the practice. It's a mental, we have to, as yoga, abhyasa yoga, we have to practice. Eating for Krishna, walking for Krishna, yadkaroshi, whatever you do. Yadashnashi, whatever you eat, whatever you say, whatever you think. Kat purusha, madarpanam, you have to do it for Krishna. Have to practice. Every day, all the time. Never let it slip. Gradually we can awaken that actual natural condition of affection for Krishna. That will awaken and become substantial. It's called bhava. Real feelings of affection can be awakened. What's the principal practice? Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. Sadhu Kabunai, Shravanade Shuduchite Kurai Udai. Rupa Goswami, Mahaprabhu is explaining to Rupa Goswami. The principal practice, Shravanadi. Shravan is hearing. Adi. Adi means beginning with, or it means foundationally, fundamentally. Beginning with, in other words, number one priority for practicing loving Krishna is Shravan, hearing. Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte. The Chitte is the heart, Shuddha. It becomes purified. Shuddha Chitte. By Shravan, by hearing about Krishna. Shuddha Chitte. And when the heart is clean, Kuraya Udai. Udai is rising sun. Anyone here named Udai? Any Udais? Surya Udai, the rising sun. So Kuraya Udai, that love awakens in the heart, then you can't stop it. Like the sun. Can anyone stop the sunrise? Kuraya Udai. So by that hearing, Rupa Goswami, Mahaprabhu is saying to Rupa Goswami, that simply by hearing, you can awaken that love like the sun will rise in the morning. Then you can't stop it. Just like Mahaprabhu, he said to Ishwara Puri, what ki mantra dilo? What mantra have you given me? I can't stop these feelings. I'm crying. I'm overwhelmed. I can't forget Krishna. I can't stop thinking about Krishna. Ki mantra dilo? What mantra you have given me, Goshai? And Ishwara Puri said, yes, my son, very good. This is the result we're looking for. Hare Krishna Mahamantra Jai Krishna. The very nature of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Jai Jate Tare Krishna Upajai Bhav. Whoever chants it, Upajai Bhav. The feelings of love for Krishna will awaken in the heart. Whoever chants. So I have to chant, as Shravan, I have to chant and hear the name of Krishna. Actually, that is the practice. Because the heart and the mind, we don't want Krishna. We don't want to associate with Krishna. So we have to worship Krishna by Nam Bhajan. That is the worship. You have to focus the mind on hearing. That is the worship of Krishna. And hearing, also hearing, that means Shrava, means hearing the name, and hearing about Krishna. So you have to hear about Krishna, you have to hear the philosophy of Krishna Kata, hearing Krishna's words, hearing the description of Krishna and Mahaprabhu. You have to hear. If we don't hear, how are we going to think about it? Majjika Satatam Baba, how can you all the time think about Krishna if you're not hearing about Krishna? You have to all the time hear about Krishna. Whenever we get a chance. You can stick these things in your ear and just go do that. You just always hear. You get in your car, you turn on the thing, always hear. In the room, you turn on, you always hear. And when you're with devotees, then you turn off the thing and then you discuss. It's like sometimes you see devotees come to prasada and they got the earphones in. Not good, actually. Then you think of the prasada and the taste. That is Krishna. And the Vaishnava Sangha. So you go in a Bhagavatam class, you associate, you're here in a temple and associate with devotees. So either you associate with devotees and actually they're more powerful. And when you know devotees, then you just hear. You go to work, you hear. Tip, all day, but you hear. You go to lunch, hear. That will help to awaken, and then you can remember. And then the effect of the pernicious effect of the material energy will not affect us. It will be like water on the duck. Well, not affected because we're more absorbed. Consciousness is absorbed in hearing. Maya namukta jiva nahi sato Krishna jnana. It's impossible to become Krishna conscious because the Maya is so powerful. Maya namukta jiva. The jiva who's entangled is caught up in Maya. Nahi sato Krishna jnana. He doesn't have the capacity to become Krishna conscious. Jiva ra kripa koilo Krishna ve Krishna. Jiva ra kripa koilo Krishna ve Puran. Therefore, out of mercy for the conditioned souls, Krishna compiled Vedas and Puranas. Krishna Veda Puran, Jivara Kripa Koya. So we can hear. How do we know about Vrindavan? How can we access Vrindavan? We have to hear about it. We have to absorb that always. Nittam Bhagavat said, I have to hear. That's why Krishna compiles it, out of mercy, so that we can use our material ear, mundane ear, and hear about it. And that is the doorway to achieving it. Hearing the pastimes, hearing the philosophy, and chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Any comments? That's it, chanting you have to hear. If you just keep chanting and you don't hear, what's the use? That means you have to hear. Hearing means hearing the name. So if you just keep chanting and you're not hearing, that's called inattentive chanting. And that's the cause of all offences. Nama parad, that's nama parad. Of course it's nam, but it's nama parad. Bahu jodi, what is that? Bahu jodi janma. Is it Bahu Janma Koti Jodi Shravan and Kirtan? Even you do that for many lives, you won't get Krishna praying. You won't get the love. So you have to. I don't know if that is what you're asking. If you chant and you don't hear philosophy in Shastra, that's okay. It's possible. If you simply are chanting all the time, but why do that? Because, you know, why not hear the philosophy as well? What would be the reason? There's no good reason to do that. Why, you know, you're doing something, well, Prabhu, is it possible if I tie one hand behind my back and put it in my pocket there, would it be possible for me to do the job? Yeah, it's possible. Why would you do such a foolish thing, though? Is it so difficult to hear the philosophy? How do you feel sitting and listening to class? It's very enlightening. Yeah, so it's very kevala anandakanda. It's not difficult. It's actually easy. In fact, chanting all the time, that's difficult. Just chanting, that's difficult. You know, we need variety. Okay, just eat rice. You can sustain your body. Okay, everything is there. Just eat rice. Well, it's not so easy. Why do that? There's other variety. So that's the thing about the hearing. It's so much variety. Krishna Lila, Vrindavan, Dwarka Lila. Why didn't Prabhupada gave up his, you know, abandoned sleeping all night the way we do to write the books? So we can hear it. And we can hear so much variety. There's Krishna book. There's Vrindavan, there's Mathura, there's Dwarakalila, Krishna is a prince, Balaram, they're on their horses going into battle. Subhadra getting Subhadra married, Arjuna, and so much. There's so much nice. And then Gauralila, Mahaprabhu is in Mayapur, he's going to Murari Guptas. They're playing, he's swimming on the Ganga, he's having a bath. And then Mahaprabhu takes sannyas, he's in Puri, Sarabhanda, he's bathing in the ocean, he's in the Gambira. It's like, it's better than Hollywood. There's so much sweetness. And there's Gita Upadesh, Krishna speaking to Raja, philosophy, there's so many books. So why not hear it? That's the idea. This is the contribution. This is the benefit of our great glorious sampradaya. You can read for hours and hours, and you never have to read the same thing twice. Even if you do, by the time you get back to it again, it's been such a long time that it's all new. So what would be the reason not to hear? Of course, you can just chant. You can get everything. Everything is there in the Maha Mantra, as we said. Jaita Shabha. The very nature of Hari Krishna Mantra. Jai Jate. Whoever chants it, Tare Krishna Upajai Bhav. Will awaken love for Krishna. You'll get everything in chanting. But the hearing actually helps so much. Because we get inspired. Just like after class, you want to chant. Because you want to do it. You want to develop love for Krishna. So this is the mercy, that Krishna's mercy comes in various ways. Comes in the deity, comes in the name, comes in the Bhagavatam and Gita, Krishna Katha, comes in the Prasad. So we don't just restrict ourselves to one, we take everything, we'll take all the mercy. That would be my response. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu, Harinamanda.
I was just wondering what's the difference between Japa, Kirtan, and Harinam.
Japa, Kirtan, and Harinam. Well, a few differences. Like, for example, we take a vow to chant a minimum number of Japa, so you don't take such a vow for the Kirtan. But we hear that we should go to Kirtan every day. We should go to Kirtan. So when there's devotees together, we can do Kirtan. We can do Kirtan. Some devotees come together, let's do Kirtan. And then when you're on your own, you can do Japa. Then we have Japa class, we have Japa in the morning together. But that's the idea. When you're alone, you can do Japa. When there's other devotees around, okay, let's do a Kirtan. You can't do a Kirtan on your own. So you have other devotees around, let's do a Kirtan. And then we go and hurry now. Okay, let's go and spread. Let's go and spread. Let's go and share. Let's do preaching. It's all the same. Harinam. It's all going to have the effect of awakening in Krishna Prem. And there's different styles. You can go out preaching. You can have kirtan in the temple with just the devotees. You can go out on the street and do kirtan. Or you can chant. So do them all. Do them all. And the sankirtan, actually, the sankirtan we should do. We should not neglect the sankirtan, chanting with devotees, because that's the actual yuga dharma. And you see Mahaprabhu, he's doing kirtan. Mahaprabhu's doing kirtan. He's also chanting, but we're worshipping doing kirtan, so that's significant. So we should not neglect the kirtan. And that's kind of a little tricky here, because already you took the vow not to neglect the japa. So there's no question of that. So I'm saying don't neglect the kirtan. That way we've got you from all sides. So don't neglect the kirtan. And kirtan is enjoyable. You know, devotees dancing and we're dancing and singing. And kirtan is yuga dharma. Mahaprabhu is doing kirtan. That's all you need to remember. He's doing kirtan. Come here, take darshan of Mahaprabhu, go and you get inspired. Let me do kirtan. Any other question? What?
We work for people who are miserly.
Yeah, miserly.
Unclean.
Yeah.
So, to maintain the family, we work still. And how do we feel not too discouraged?
Yeah.
So that we keep up the responsibilities?
Yeah. Well, generally, you see, we'll keep them up anyway. generally because we're attached. Generally, we won't give that up because we're attached. You know, so we don't. You know, that's kind of. But we preach that okay, you have to, you know, to make it Krishna conscious, because generally we're going to do it anyway, because we've been doing it for lifetime after lifetime, and we're going to do it again this lifetime because we're attached. So there's not a question of giving up the responsibilities, but we have to know what we're doing and not become complacent and think that it's all right. Because Vanashram's system is that you shouldn't stay like that the whole life. So that's one thing we have to start doing, is that we have to make a plan that before giving up this body, I am freed from this. Yeah? There's a deal. It's okay, but once the family is grown up, you have to get out of it. That's the truth. That's the ashram dharma. So that you have to keep in mind, that you have to start making the plan. Once you get to 50, then that's time to turn around now. And now no longer am I building it up. And you can build it up up to 50. And once you hit 50, what you've got, be satisfied with that. Now it's exit. Time to get out. So at least, if not 50, at least the children are, you know, like are ready to get employment. That time, it's time, that's time to no, because we get attached. And this can become an obstacle for us, actually. You know, to achieve this, the machchitta, it takes effort, it takes content, it takes dedication, it takes commitment, and really it takes your whole life. It takes, you know, you have to give everything. So you need to arrange your life in such a way that towards the end of life you can actually fully dedicate yourself to achieving this. Is that okay? Yeah. So that has to be the goal. Can't forget that. And then in the meantime, you have to follow the ashram dharma of the grihastha with dhanam. And yajna, you have to give charity, and you have to try to reduce the tendency to enjoy the fruits of that work. Even though you're surrounded by people who are just buying this, buying that, going on holiday, hey, everyone's doing it, I'll do it. So you're enjoying, you know, if you enjoy that, then you get contaminated by the association of the person from whom you're getting the money. If you use that money unnecessarily for sense enjoyment, because everyone else is doing it, you get contaminated by association with that person. Is that okay? Yeah. So you have to avoid that, you have to reduce that. And actually in the Prakriyasa it's even more difficult. For Brahmachari it's easy, because there's no opportunity for enjoying these things. But for Grihastha you're on your own. And everyone's encouraging you. And so the tendency is there. So that has to be curtailed. And you have to give charity. And you have to use your energy and you use the result of your work to satisfy Gauranga and Prabhupada. And then you won't get contaminated by their association. And you preach according to your capacity, the best you can, and that's it. And you follow the process, and then you can achieve the goal. And that should be our encouragement. Is that okay? Yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, you are living in the Mayapur. So I wanted to ask you, what inspired you when you moved from Australia to Mayapur? Like for us, we moved to Australia from India. So what inspired you to go to Mayapur and spend life?
No comment on that one. Yes, another question?
Two questions, in fact. The first one, we talked about love, how to develop that unconditional love for Krishna. Because most of us... when we begin this journey of love, we just want something in return, you know, like something like Krishna, like only you can save me, or save me from this problem. How do you convert that kind of love into something which you do not want anything back?
Practice. Abhyasa yoga. You have to practice it. So we have to practice the little things, and then you can gradually build up. So we practice little things. Let me do anukulana Krishna anushilana. Let me do little things for Krishna and for Krishna alone. Let me pay obeisances, this is just for you, Krishna. Let me bring some milk, some grains, this is just for you, Krishna. Let me go to the kitchen and do some seva, cleaning, this is just for you, Krishna. Your pleasure. And then gradually you build up. It's called abhyasa yoga, you have to practice these things. And then that's it, that awakens the natural feelings. You try to do things for Krishna without any inclination to get something back. And you just practice. And that's it.
Now, so the other question is, we talked about how we should strive in this lifetime to, when we exit our body, try to enter into Krishna's world. But not all of us could make it. I mean, what happens to those? I mean, you tried, you're not able to make it.
Purvabhyasena tenaiva rita iya vishokishaha. Purvabhyas. We're saying abhyasa yoga. You have to practice. So in the 6th chapter of Gita, Krishna says purva abhyas. In the next life, because of the purva abhyas, because of the practice that you did in the previous life, purva abhyas tena tenaiva rita hi avashokishaha. Again, you become attracted. So even if you don't make it this time, you should still as much yoga practice as you can, because it's going to give you much better facility, much better, be much closer in the next life when you begin again. So that's the idea, you have to practice. Pur abhyas, you have to practice. The more you can practice, you may achieve in this life. And even if not, then that practice is so strong and has such an impression on your heart that next life you'll just be looking for where is pure bhakti, where is Krishna bhakti, where is Krishna, where is Prabhupada, where is Guru, where is Mahaprabhu's mission. You'll have that desire, you'll have that inclination. Even if it may not be so impressed that you're saying, where's Prabhupada, where's Mahaprabhu's mission? But at least if you come in contact again, immediately you'll become attracted. Yeah. Immediately you'll become attracted and you'll stick. So the same answer. You just got to give it as much as you can in this life.
And is there a concept of going to a higher planet or coming back to Earth, Kali Yuga, and reliving the entire journey? And
well, it's up to Krishna. It's up to Krishna. Yeah. We don't really. The point is that Krishna will help us. It's not really, it's that kind of out of our control where we'll be. So that's why, because Grihastha, even we can become successful if we follow Manasa and Dharma. If you follow strictly Grihastha now and you don't enjoy more than you should, Grihastha means a license for sense enjoyment. That means you can have some sense enjoyment. Yeah, it's not illegal, but you shouldn't take more than the allocation. And then you can remain in Krishna consciousness. And then you can actually move on to the next ashram after. And then it's not really, it really is kind of a little bit like the finish line. If you put in 15, 20 years after Grihastha life of absorbed, deep, committed bhajan and seva, you can become very advanced. So Grihastha is taking energy of the goal. Actually, it's the safe path. Because oftentimes the renunciates push, and when they get 50, 60, then they kind of think, well, I'm not really ready, I think I need to enjoy a little bit more, and it's like a whole disaster. So better to enjoy when you're young, get it all out of the system, and then by the time, like, hit Rajesh's age, and that's it, you're finished with it, that's the way it should be done. So the Grihastha life is actually the best. Because by the time you get 50, all the senses are getting weaker and weaker, and then you just give it up. And then you're not looking back, you've done all that, kids are growing up, you're not attracted to family life. You can just absorb yourself, and you've got another 15, 20 years. That's enough time. So Grihastha is the best. But that's for you, afterwards we'll just rectify, we'll just verify that statement. Let's verify that down the ashram afterwards. But all the greenhouses are kind of looking like this. So I kind of thought I had to change the tune a little bit. But ultimately, if you're able to avoid it, then much easier, because you don't have to kind of work through giving all these things up, because you never got attached to them. That's the advantage of the brahmacharya life. I mean, you have a wife, all those years, she's serving faithfully, everything, and you develop a strong attachment. And then you have to give that up. It's not easy. It's only easy for one who never develops such a relationship. They just have Guru and Krishna the whole life, so that's the best. But not necessary, not usually possible for most. So therefore, Grihastha is the recommended for most. Unless you're really determined, then if you can live and just remain the attachment to Guru Krishna and Krishna Seva, then that's easiest. Because you don't have to work through these things, because you never develop the attachments to them. I think it's time to close. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.